There are two ways, one of life and one of death, but a great difference between the two ways.
The way of life, then, is this. First, you shall love God who made you. Second, love your neighbor as yourself and do not do to another what you would not want you done to you.
So I'm going to interrupt you.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as someone knows the source of this text, if you think you know where this comes from in Scripture, would you wave your hand at us? Okay, deans are going to keep reading, but as soon as you think, like, this is familiar, I know where it's from, give us a hand, and we're going to pause, all right?
Yes.
So we'll watch for hands.
Okay.
All right. Does anybody know yet? Scott, you, Mr. Jones, you're out. He read Scripture for the earlier service.
He doesn't count.
You cannot come here and try to cheat, Mr. Jones. Your students are here. Okay, you're out. No guessing. Keep going.
And of these sayings, the teaching is this. Bless those who curse you, and pray for your enemies, and fast for those who persecute you. For what reward is there for giving those who you love? Do not the Gentiles do the same? And love those who hate you, and you shall not have an enemy.
Anybody want to guess? You're all afraid now, huh? Okay, keep going, Gorbos.
Abstain from fleshly and worldly lusts. If someone strikes you your right cheek, turn to him the other also, and you shall be perfect. If someone impresses you for 1 mile, go with him too. If someone takes your cloak, give him also your coat. If someone takes from you what is yours, ask it not back, for indeed you are not able.
Only one.
Nobody's guessing.
No.
We scared them.
Give to everyone who asks you, and ask it not back, for your Father wills that to all should be given of his own blessing. Happy is he who gives according to the commandments, for he is guiltless.
Okay, thank you. This ends our reading. Anything sound familiar? Why are you not guessing? Anything sound familiar? Yeah. At the earlier service, we started with Matthew. Is it from Matthew? And then someone said, is it from John? And then someone said, you could guess what comes next, right? Oh, let's just try Luke and Mark. No. Is it from Romans? Is it from Leviticus? Is it from Corinthians? No. We got through maybe, 25 books of the Bible, huh, Scott? It was a really good list, and it was all wrong. This text we read today is from none of those sources. So last week, if you were here, Pastor Vaughn opened Bible. We were in the book of Colossians. Colossians, this letter, maybe 30 years after Jesus is crucified, raised, the tomb is empty, right? 30 years. 30 years away from a story is still enough that you can remember the details, isn't it? 30 years is enough that you don't have to fill in the gaps. 30 years, even kids and teenagers who are now adults, they've got the details and the facts. 30 years is good, but let's move back maybe 60 or 70 years from the empty tomb and Jesus. 60 or 70 years when the life expectancy is, who's 35 or 40 here today? Right, keep your hands up. Bobby Brown, are you really? You are not. What is with all the fibbing in church today? Perhaps I feel a different lesson coming on. 35 or 40? 35 or 40, Lucas? That's a life expectancy now, so you'd be dead. So let's imagine we go 60, 70 years from Jesus. You are long gone. The first and second generation storytellers are gone. Now we're with third generation storytellers. Secondhand stories are now thirdhand stories, and people hearing of Jesus for the first time or hearing it from people who weren't even there, right? This is where we are now, 60 or 70 years removed from Jesus, and people are filling in the gaps. What did he really say? people coming to the table because Jesus isn't here, trying to imagine if Jesus is Lord, what will this demand of us? But we're so far removed from the story. Do you remember what I remember? Did he say it that way or this way? Did he teach that or didn't he teach that? Everyone now has scraps of stories from Jesus. Imagine we're mixed in now, first generation convents, and we're mixed in with disciples who are hanging on to these scraps of stories that they put up on the table and we sift through. What can we say about Jesus? And if we had to agree upon the most important things we could say about Jesus, what would bubble to the top? What would have our attention? What will make the final cut? It's like a grand game of memory. You know memory, that old game with the images and you have to turn over the cards and match. Zach, give us one on the board. This is National Geographic. Easy level, we should all be fine. Memory, this is of desert scapes, okay? Zach's gonna help us, but you're gonna holler when you see something that was matching. Go, Zach. Nope. Yeah. Get it, Zach. Cheer him on. He got it. Right? Get it, Zach. Good. Yes. Yes and yes, wasn't it? Is it me? Another one, Zach. That's somewhere up there. Good. Get it. All right, next. We saw it. No. You're almost there, Zach. We saw that one. Yes. I don't know that we saw that one. Smarty. Done. All right. The game of memory. We're going to do one that's a little more difficult. It's still National Geographic. It's all kosher for church. Big cats. But these big cats all look a lot alike. Big cats, more higher degree of difficulty. Go. No? 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 Yes? Good, Zach. Both of them, right? Yes. No. Nope. Nope. Somewhere. Yeah, Zach. We're almost halfway there. Yes. All right, cheer him on. He's almost done. He's almost done. Yes. We saw that one. No, we didn't. Done! This is why we put a 16, 17-year-old at the computer. I mean, this is really what it would be like if you're 60, 70, 80 years removed from Jesus and all we have are second, third, maybe fourth-hand stories. We're all putting our scraps of stories on the table. Did Jesus say this or did he say that? Did we remember it right? Did you hear what I heard? Did you see what I saw? What we read earlier was from a community living 60, 70 years after the empty tomb. Comes from a community maybe in Syria, and their writing is called the Didache. And I said that correct, the Didache. Last night when I was saying it out loud, my husband from the other room kept saying, "Are you okay? Didache, are you okay? Didache." Just say it with me and stop asking if I'm okay. We're all okay. Sounds like you're coughing something up, then you've got it. Didache. Well, not quite that much. This is a simple name for the word teaching. The teaching. Teaching of the apostles, the 12 apostles. When they put all their scraps up at the table and they try and imagine, are we remembering correctly? That's why some things sounded familiar. Let's go back and listen to some of the verses that were read. The way of life then is first this. First, you shall love God who made you. Second, love your neighbor as yourself. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, that's Jesus. Next, do not do unto another what you would not want done. Does that sound familiar? It's the golden rule in reverse, isn't it? And of these sayings, this teaching is true. Bless those who curse you and pray for your enemies. Does that sound familiar? Yes. If someone strikes your right cheek, who said that? Jesus. They begin to put these scraps on the table. Give to everyone who asks of you and don't ask for it back. If someone impresses you for 1 mile, go too. If someone takes your cloak, what are we supposed to do? Jesus says, give them your coat and your cloak. They put all their scraps of Jesus' stories on the table, and this is what they begin to write. They write a few chapters. They remember that Jesus taught them some prayers. Didn't he say, our Father, which art in heaven? Yeah, I remember that. Didn't he baptize in water? Yeah, he did that. Yes, we know that happened. Didn't he take bread and break it and bless it and tell us to eat it? Yeah, that happened too. In the Didache, they put those community instructions, prayers, rituals also. But I want us to notice this afternoon that is the words of Jesus that come first. There are themes they all remember from the words of Jesus, even if the words are a little twisted from our Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're all hanging on to fragments of a story with Jesus. If Jesus is Lord, at least we know these things. We'll have to be generous with each other. We'll have to give when people ask. Oh, we'll have to take care of each other, they go on to say. Take care of the prophets who come to town and take care of the children and don't ask for anything back in return. 60 or 70 years after Jesus is risen and the tomb is empty, here's a community of disciples asking the question we've been asking for 4 or 5 weeks. If Jesus is Lord, so what? What now? What will that large confession demand of me? What kind of loyalty will be required if I say Jesus is Lord? This community is not unlike the rest of us. All of us have to wrestle with this confession. Jesus is Lord, so what? In a few minutes, we'll witness baptism of two precious ones, Caitlin and Lauren. If Jesus is Lord, they're going to answer today, so what? We all wrestle this confession. Our friend, our professor, Dr. Fritz Guy, says it this way, that Jesus is the supreme revelation of what God is and what God does and what God wants. Jesus isn't something other than God. Jesus is part of God's great story. So if divine love persisted at the cross, that was God in Jesus. If divine love persisted in an open tomb, that was God in Jesus. And now we all must wrestle with that. What does this mean? What will it require of us? It is, we've said for the last 4 weeks, the primary confession of our faith. Jesus is Lord. Now, we have privilege because we live a lot of years later. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have people who've written, millions of people who've written and reflected, millions of disciples who've come before us. We sit in a very different position than those who were inheriting the first stories. But sometimes having advantage doesn't make us advantaged. Let me be very clear about that. I've been reading a book by Italian, raised Catholic and Italian, and he's a pastor. He says it this way, when he was growing up in the church, he knew two stories to be very true. His name is John Pavelitz. He knew two stories to be true. Number one, at home, I know I'm beloved by my family. And number two, with faith community, I know I'm beloved by God. These were his two stories he knew to be true growing up. He also was taught that this faith story, I know I'm beloved by God, and the way I summarize it is with this verse from the Bible, if God be for me, who can be against me? God is for me. But as he grew and as his world grew and as he saw more life and as changes came in their family, he realized that he had a self-centered faith story. God is for me. He realized the longer he confessed Jesus is Lord, the more Easter Sundays we live through, Jesus is Lord, the more life we see, we realize that our confession has to become larger. Not if God can be for me, but if God is for everyone, then God couldn't be against anyone. His confession grew larger. He said, I decided what I need was a church with bigger doors. I needed a community with larger parameters. The title of his book, Get a Bigger Table. I need a church with a bigger table. Because the longer we do life with Jesus as Lord, the more risky it gets, friends. The more messy it gets. It doesn't calm down, it becomes more turbulent. If Jesus is Lord. This John author reminds me of our friend Charles Teal. 2011, Charles comes marching to my office here at the church. Charles is so wound up about some banners that were hanging in the church here for years on communion Sabbath. These banners had the bread and the cup, and they carried these words. Brown banners, he said, so they're so ugly anyway, as only Dr. Teal could say. They're so ugly anyway, but Pastor, then they say, the cup for me and the bread for me. We can't have banners like that in the church. Come with me, we're gonna go find them. We opened every closet in this church. We turned things upside down. We will find those banners. And when I retire, I'm coming to your office and we are going to write a sermon on what's wrong with these banners. And then we're going to burn them. How'd you like to have a banner burning after church, Pastor? You can only say yes to Dr. Teal. What do you want the banners to say, Dr. Teal? The cup for us. The bread for us. None of this is private. It's all personal, but none of it is private. The longer we confess Jesus is Lord, the longer we live with this story, we realize the confession gets bigger and the story gets messier. Friends, this is because we've only begun to scratch the surface of what it means. God's great story. God's story is large and we are so little. We ought to expect the confession will change. Jesus is Lord, so what? A few weeks ago, we said there's a group of clergy that have been working on this in America in the last few months. These are not insignificant names. A group of clergy in the spring who began working on a document called reclaimingjesus.org. I asked you, some of you, go home, look it up. Read what they're working on. Jim Wallace and Tony Campolo and Walter Brueggemann and many, many others. Here's what they've decided, that part of what's wrong in our country is that Christians have lost our confession, our bold confession of Jesus as Lord. If Jesus owns our life, no one else does. That Christians ought to reclaim our voice in the world, in our churches, in our homes and schools, in our communities. So they've suggested, if you were here a few weeks ago, you heard me say, what can we say we trust or believe? Well, we're all made in the image of God. Therefore, we will not trample on or oppress any human beings because we're all made in the image of God. Our yes tells us what our no is. What else can we say? Well, we can say that the way we treat the hungry and the naked and the homeless is the way we treat Jesus. Therefore, we will not ignore or minimize refugees or immigrants in our country. We'll not let them become political puppets. Our yes dictates our no. Church, I'm inviting us into this kind of an activity. This, their website, reclaimingjesus.org, it's thick, it's dense, it will trouble some of us. We won't like everything we read there. I'm inviting us to start doing this kind of work personally and then together with one caution. If we are going to work on Jesus as Lord, what does it mean if Jesus is Lord? If we're going to ask, how might we be loyal because Jesus is Lord, we better not confuse it with other things. If we're going to say we're uplifting Jesus, but what we mean is we're uplifting doctrine and dogma and church and denominations, we better know the difference. This is one thing, but it's not Jesus is Lord. So there's a caution for us in Scripture from 2 Corinthians. Eugene Peterson says it nicely. We are, he says, remember, we are messengers. The message is not about ourselves. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ, the Master. All we are errand runners. Errand runners from Jesus to you. It all started when God said, light up the darkness, and our lives filled up with light, and we saw and we understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. What does loyalty require of us? Caitlin and Lauren are working on that today when they get in the water, the beginning steps. You'll see if you go to our Facebook page, our website, you will see some postcards, some little cards like this as you leave today. You can do this electronically from the website and fill in the blanks, or you can pick up a hard copy of this card today, My Jesus Manifesto. Let me start working on this. Let me take it home and think about it this afternoon. If Jesus is Lord, then what? What do I know I trust today? And what does that mean I will refuse today? If Jesus is Lord of red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight, therefore, I refuse to push anyone out of God's story. Make your own list. Begin your own list. Talk about it. Share. Think about it together, friends. This is work we do together. If Jesus is Lord in the La Sierra community, then what comes next? We expect the confession to grow, for things to change. It doesn't become more calm in our future. It takes more courage. It takes more courage from all of us. But I'm kind of there. I don't know where you are. Just a few months ago, what month? March, while we were getting ready for 4 days with Jesus, I started year 10 here with this community. There's not a day that goes by that I don't wonder, what does Jesus want of us? I'm kind of ready for the more. I'm kind of ready for the honest confessions now. I'm kind of ready for the truth-telling. I'm kind of ready for the author of my book, John, the Italian. His blog site is called Saying Stuff That Needs to Be Said. I'm kind of ready for that. If Jesus is Lord, La Sierra, what's next? When we were young kids in the summertime, when school was out and summer vacation was on, my parents left us home alone. Because you could do that then. Four of us, I'm looking at the kids, Leilani, four of us just like the Kritzingers, three girls, one boy. So we were left at home alone. And my mother would give us one manifesto every morning. As they got in the car to drive to the dental office, they would be gone about 10 hours. And so they would put us all in a room and say, my mother would say, these are the rules. This is my mother's manifesto. Don't break anything, especially each other. It's very important that you say this to children. Don't break each other. Watch out for each other because you only have each other. When we get home tonight, you better all be here. We're going to count heads. Every day it was the same manifesto. Don't break anything, each other included. Take care of each other. It's all you've got. You better all be here when we get home. It was a pretty clean and clear manifesto, and they'd drive out the driveway, 7:30, 7:45 in the morning. My brother would go straight to the television. About that time when the one television show came on we're not supposed to watch, my brother got very intense, and if it was a good day, it would be reruns all day of the one show that's forbidden in our house with the caped heroes, Batman and Robin. There's no Batman and Robin in our house. No, 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 no. My brother would plant himself right in front of the television and just go. Three sisters, we would crowd around him like little revivalist preachers. We were on it. We are going to call you back from your sin. We're going to point it out to you. We're going to tell you of your eternal doom. Come back to us. You are in so much trouble. We would sit over top of him and preach. Turn off the TV. You're in so much trouble. When he could stand no more of us, he would simply get up, walk to the television. You could do this then, pull a knob off. You could just pull the knob off the TV. Now no one can change the channel. And then he looks around at us, kind of like, what are y'all going to do, you little sissies? He's got 4 acres out front. He's got 5 acres out back. He just would pick a door, go outside, look around, take that knob to the TV and pitch it. Way out in the field. Laugh his belly off, go back to the TV and watch Batman and Robin. I have vivid memories of going to my bedroom and weeping for my brother's salvation. He's watching kapow, bang, all that, and I'm in the bedroom crying over his future. You should know he works in corporate America and I work for the church. We should have seen this coming. I'm crying about his future, and my mother would come home, and all that really mattered to my mother when she got home. Did you break each other? Oh, phew. Did you take care of each other? Well, sort of. Are you all here? It's a pretty simple manifesto, and it has the fingerprints of Jesus already on it. Don't break each other. Take care of one another. May we all be here when the Jesus who is Lord returns. That is the beginning of a beautiful manifesto, if Jesus is Lord. Friends, I'm persuaded that the church of the future is not coming to those of us who are weak in our proclamation of Jesus. The church of the future is coming to disciples who are confident. Disciples who believe what they say they believe and they act what they say they believe. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen.